Of all the terrible things that could happen to a person on this earth, the worst of all is to lose his own soul. There are at least two ways by which a man may lose his own soul. He may lose his soul by living and dying without any profession of faith. He may live like a beast, prayerless, godless, graceless, faithless, utterly indifferent to the facts that he is headed for a lost eternity. I meet some of these beast-like men and women continually, who love their sins and have no intention of changing their downward course. They are in and out of jail, in and out of the hospital, good and faithful servants of the devil, rather proud of the fact that they are not hypocrites. Such a Christless course is a sure way to hell. Can you question the power of the devil when he holds men and women, giving them nothing but sorrow and misery, but makes them continue in and even ask for more of the same? The devil is a good paymaster. He always pays his bills. The wages of sin is death. Quite a few of this earth's population live in this category and drop into hell at the end of a Christless life. The Son of God can say of them, as he did on one occasion, it had been better for that man if he had never been born. But there's a second way by which a man may lose his own soul. He may lose his soul by taking up some form of religion which man has introduced. For there are not a few religions in the world which are purely the product of the human mind, which are not based upon the Word of God. A religion is entirely useless in which Jesus Christ is not the principal object. There are too many calling themselves Christians who know practically nothing about Christ. Their religion consists of a few vague notions and empty expressions. They think they are no worse than many others. They are fairly faithful in their church. They try to do their duty. They figure that they have no outstanding sins. They hope that eventually God will be merciful to them and forgive their sins and somehow bring them safe through the pearly gates of heaven. As far as Christ is concerned, they think of him the same as they do of Moses and David and other Bible characters. They have never learned the great truth that the Lord Jesus Christ is the keystone to the salvation that God is offering to every man, woman, boy, or girl. I repeat, a religion is entirely useless in which Jesus Christ does not fill the principal place. And I have scripture for that statement, Acts 4:12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It is not difficult to get men and women to reform or to turn over a new leaf, but it is difficult to get people to see the need of regeneration rather than mere reformation. A story comes from Brantford, Ontario, telling of a woman who was attacked by a 250-pound lioness in a Midtown Motors garage. The owner of the beast had undertaken to perform a few tricks by way of an advertising stunt. He inserted his head in the animal's extended mouth as the small crowd looked on with some amazement. A small child had even petted the lioness, Goldie, and to all appearances the queen of beasts was no more harmful than an overgrown kitten. But in another moment, all was changed. Taking a fancy to the plastic handbag of a woman present, the animal's old nature suddenly revived. The handbag was withdrawn by its owner, and the maddened animal leaped upon the woman and grabbed her viciously by the leg. Only the intervention of a number of men present saved the woman's life, and 70 stitches were required to bind up her wounds. Training and environment had not changed the real nature of the lioness. It needed only the slightest opportunity to manifest it. So it is with man today. By human generation, he possesses a sinful nature. The process of education and cultivation may make him appear all right on the outside. He is even capable of being religious and can at times appear saintly. This is all so much veneer, but it will not do for God. We read in Romans 8:8, "They that are in the flesh cannot please God." What each one of us needs is not a new leaf, but a new life. We must be born again, and that is our only hope. Spiritual birth means to be born of God, literally born out of God. Many animals, extremely wild and ferocious by nature, have been tamed by man. Man has superior knowledge by patient training and restraint, he can master the beast and impose on it his own will. This method, however, does not change the animal nature. Many of the religions of the world will have some influence in training the sinful nature of man, but that will by no means fit the soul for heaven. The turning over a new leaf becomes most popular, especially among those who are still unsaved. As the new year is brought into review, you will find that there are people who are very anxious to make resolutions. I have been drifting, they say. I have allowed things that have brought more trouble than pleasure. I must bring an end to this careless way of living. I solemnly vow in the presence of the Almighty that I will do much better in the future. Such promises may be made in all sincerity, but they have no value so far as God is concerned. They only indicate that the awakened sinner still has confidence in himself and that he believes that the remedy lies in his own power. It's rather hard for the human heart to accept God's verdict of absolute weakness and absolute helplessness. He says, when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Again, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. When a man discovers his weakness and his helplessness, he ceases to make any more resolutions and casts himself before the Savior as a lost and undone creature, and in so doing, he becomes eligible to be saved by grace. When a person is saved, it is not in the form of a resolution. It is not something that I intend to do, but it is a definite decision to settle the matter immediately. Being saved is not a process, nor a series of events. It is a definite act of faith in Christ. At a definite moment, and the lost and helpless sinner will be ready to say from the heart, I am a helpless lost sinner. I cannot save myself, but I believe the record that God has given of his Son who died for my sins. I am willing here and now to rest completely on him and his finished work on Calvary's cross. God hears, and God answers the sinner who thus expresses his faith, and he imparts divine life instantaneously. That new life from heaven enables the newborn child of God to live a life pleasing to God. The reception of divine life will be evidenced by a new walk, a godly life, and a desire to live for the glory of the one who has saved the undeserving one by grace. I trust as you have listened to God's precious word that you will be interested in being a real Christian, not reforming, but being regenerated, not a new leaf, but a new life. And that new life may be yours this very moment if you will trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior.